This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
That's Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Ray Von Day. He is promo code Ron Von D. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Just having a hell of a time, Rich.
Nice.
Having a hell of a time. I like my hat. I know this is a good podcast. I like the hat.
I love your hat. For those of you listening to the podcast, Davey is wearing an R. Von D. exclusive hat.
Yeah.
Which you don't see every day.
You don't see every day.
Wearing a hat doing.
It's like wearing an expensive name tag.
Yeah,
I like it, though. Like with a hello, my name is.
I like that logo. How's that fit?
It fits nice. I mean, I have a really big head.
Yeah, sure.
I do. So I measured it. I had to measure it because I was getting like a fitted hat. And it's 60 centimeters. That is a big head.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
like 7 3/4, I think.
I'm looking at some of that R. Von D apparel, though. I like the shirt. I like the hoodie there.
RVonD.net. Champion. It's from Champion.
Check it out.
Champion's getting in. Yeah. So that's via Streamlabs. So check the mixture. Check that out.
Hey, you want to know what happened to me for the first time in my life?
More than anything in the world, Rich.
I bit my tongue.
Did it never happen to you before?
I'm not done.
Oh.
While I was asleep.
Huh.
I woke up with a bloody tongue, and it hurt like the dickens.
Did it now?
And I said, yeah, because I've bitten my tongue before. Who hasn't? You know, you're enjoying, you know, like a big fistful of Jack's and you're too aggressive or something along those lines. You end up biting your tongue and it smarts, Ryan.
It does.
It always smarts. I, for the first time in my life, bit my tongue whilst asleep.
And I said,
if I can't trust myself to not bite my tongue while I'm asleep, I need to stay up all the time now.
I mean, you're not sleeping a lot anyway, right?
It hurts. No, I'm really not. And then this week I'm doing a lot of morning shows, so there's even less sleep going on, which is good news because it's less opportunity for me to bite my own tongue.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
It hurt like a bitch, too.
And
I roll over. I'm like, Katie, I think I bit my own tongue. She's like, okay.
She's like, no, I punched you in the face when you were sleeping.
She's like, actually, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know what it comes down to is I'm a teeth grinder.
Yeah, so
they're already on the move. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The chompers, and then next thing you know, took a chunk. Yep. I'm like, I think I bit through it. She's like, you didn't bite through it.
I am a big time teeth grinder, and when I was a kid, I never really bit my. It was always canker sores with me.
I got too much citrus, maybe.
Yeah, had all the cankers. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I got there.
Well, that sucks, man. I'm sorry that happened.
That was the exact response I was looking for my wife. Didn't get it.
Didn't get it.
That it was more. Paraphrasing, she was like, toughen up, buttercup, or something along those lines, but it hurt. It hurt a great deal.
Not me. I would never say that to you.
Ryan, let's get to the next portion of the program, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
This week in Dork! Yeah!
Well, we're going to start on a sad note, Ryan, and that, of course, would be the passing of Chadwick Boseman, who, after 4 years of battling colon cancer, just found out about that on Friday night, and he passed away at 43 years old, and obviously leaves behind an incredible legacy, not only as Black Panther, but some of the other roles that he had, including Jackie Robinson. He was like legit a hero to so many, and since then, you just hear more and more good things that he has done. We did, along with Mac and Goo, we did like a little video, like a YouTube thing last night. If you guys haven't heard it yet or you want to, it's just on our YouTube stream. I think Mac and Goo might be posting it to their podcast channel, but for us it's just on the YouTube stream. Go check it out. But So most of our thoughts are there, but Davey, this guy was just incredible.
And like you said, an incredible talent and a better human being. Like, mm-hmm. and you find out, and what's great about him, and I think we mentioned it last night too, is all the stuff he never, you know, took camera crews with him to do all the stuff, going to St. Jude's, doing all these wonderful things for kids. And, you know, there was, he never really knew about it. And
no.
that's talking, how you do things. You know what I mean?
Two kids with cancer while you have cancer and while you're fighting that is just pretty wild stuff.
Yeah.
So he will certainly be missed, and you know, we can get into down the road what happens with Black Panther 2 and everything else in the mm-hmm. MCU, but for now, man, what a huge loss. And that's just for a couple of guys that never met him. And
right.
You can only imagine the people that were close in his life, right. how awful that was. But again, check that out in our YouTube page if you want to hear more on the great Chadwick Boseman. There was a movie released, believe it or not, this weekend, The New Mutants. After 5 or 6 delays, they said, screw it, let's just put it out still during a pandemic. It made $7 million. And last check, although this could have been updated, this was over the weekend, I think, 29% on Rotten Tomatoes by the critics, 53% by the audiences. Forbes, the reviewer of mm-hmm. Forbes, said it was the worst X-Men movie, which says a lot because there were some dump-ass X-Men
movies. There are some fucking stinkers in that group.
Some of the worst movies ever are X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Wolverine's Origin, Last Stand.
Was that worse than Dark Phoenix?
Apparently so.
Holy smokes.
Pretty funny. Maisie Williams, who obviously played Arya Stark,
yeah.
she retweeted the article from Forbes and was like, sounds like it can't miss, or like, sounds like a must see. So like, at least she has a sense of humor about it.
I think they do too. And I honestly believe that the movie that was shot is not the movie that you're seeing. This is a Suicide Squad thing. I have full belief that the script that was put in front of these actors is not what you see on screen. Or it was like so hacked up and changed so many times. Because remember there was,
I believe that,
like 3 months before the movie was supposed to come out, like the second time, they were doing reshoots.
Right.
And it was testing like shit. And it was like, it was all over.
The trailer looked good though. I mean, maybe that's the same thing as Suicide Squad, but it looks like it was going to be like a horror comic book movie.
That's how it was pitched, right? It was like an X-Men horror movie, which was like, we were both on board for. We're like, all right, fucking yeah, let's do it.
I'll see it eventually. But
then I think the guy's name is, his last name is McLeod. The guy who actually created the New Mutants. They spelled his fucking name wrong in the credits.
He did say the movie sucked, I believe.
He did say, well, he did, but he didn't like the movie. And he's like, to boot, like, they spelled my name wrong. And I'm thinking, like, you had 3 years to get the guy's fucking name right.
Think about how many times they probably redid the end or the credits, even.
And like, I get it. It's like McLeod versus MacLeod. Like, That's an easy mistake to make, but like, it's also an easy thing to look up.
Yeah,
if you're not sure.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. I would say that information's available.
It certainly is.
Pull out the comic book that you probably didn't read for writing the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of great movies, potentially, we have some news on Scream 5. It's going to come out January of 2022. So hold on to your socks if you're wearing any.
I am not right now. I am wearing a pair of action sandals.
All right. Well,
I'm not wearing socks.
Hold on to your sandals, then.
Yeah.
Ryan, I don't know. Did you ever watch The Babysitter on Netflix?
No.
Kind of good. You like stupid horror? Like, it was stupid, funny horror.
But I have a problem. I'm glad you brought this up. Like, talk to me about The Babysitter.
All I was gonna say is The Babysitter was pretty good. It was, you know, for one of these cheap horror movies, like 90 minutes, runs you through. I thought it was very enjoyable on Netflix, especially when you're looking for like a new type of horror movie. We've all seen the same ones over and over again, and they are coming out with a sequel called The Babysitter Killer Queen. They released a trailer. We tweeted it out at Dork Podcast on Twitter. Yeah. And this movie actually comes out September 10th. So real soon.
And it's, what's it, Samara Weaving, the girl who's in Hide and Seek. What's the game? Not Hide and Seek, but what's the...
Ready or Not.
Ready or Not. Yeah. Which is also really good. But
Bella Thorne is in it.
And I wanted to segue into this. Have you been following this story?
Of course I have. She's upsetting the OnlyFans.
Not only that, like, She's putting the real workers out of work.
Yeah,
you got like all this. It's bullshit. I'm pissed about it. I don't even subscribe to. I don't have an OnlyFans account.
I'm
pissed about it.
We bring it up every once in a while on Dale and Keith because I'm trying to get Shime to do an OnlyFans where he acts like a puppy,
right,
and gets a lot of money that way. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, eating a rawhide, scratching himself, flea collar, the whole nine.
Dog play, I get it.
Dog stuff, mostly dog stuff.
Lid for every pot. Someone's got to be into that, right?
People are into that.
I know.
And so Bella Thorne, who was like a Disney star, I believe, and then she's in a couple of these movies. I saw her in this Babysitter thing. She's only like 22 years old. She also directed a porno.
Right.
So she took to OnlyFans and made $1 million in 24 hours, which was the most money ever for a day. And she made like a total of $2 million. But I guess she was making promises that she didn't keep, including like there's going to be some nudes. There was not nudes. It was like her drinking wine in lingerie in her house.
Correct.
And
so she said, pay $200 for this nude photo.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of people did it. Or not hundreds, but like tens of thousands of people
clearly,
did it.
I mean, for millions,
like,
whatever.
And it wasn't anything. So So she made all that money in 2 days. And then people started asking for their money back because they were clearly sold a bill of goods that they didn't get. And
so
now
OnlyFans kind of panicked and they've changed so many of their rules. They've capped how much you could tip somebody, which was a big problem for a lot of people that were making money on OnlyFans. They capped, like, I think how much you could even send. Initially or something
and
like that. Like they just they put a lot
charge,
of restrictions on it.
So that, and what I've seen, so anything with like online, so I don't know if people know this, but when you like it, with Twitch, for example, like you get paid quarterly. Okay. So you get paid like every 3 months, right? So OnlyFans, the girl, I think whoever was on, I was going to say girls, but like whoever was on OnlyFans was getting paid like by like the week or like bi-weekly. Now they have to wait a month because of all the chargebacks that, because you figure how many chargebacks did OnlyFans get because of Bella Thorne?
She ruined it.
And how much money she cost them. And now there's all these changes because she's a dummy. And her excuse was outrageously bad. She was like, well, I'm doing this research about the exploitation of sex workers and blah, blah, blah. And people are like, can you just ask? Like, why did you have to like take money?
Right. Because she was going to make a movie about OnlyFans.
But
and
like
now
somehow
she's,
like made
not.
Money, like I made $1 million off it. Like, get the fuck out of here, you idiot.
Take a hike. But I will watch her in The Babysitter Killer Queen.
Sure.
I'm going to watch that. Anyway.
All right.
Speaking of Netflix, Ryan, they just released a trailer. We also tweeted this one as well. Mm-hmm. Of The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Woo!
Which is an offshoot of The Haunting on Hill House. Or of Hill House? On Hill House.
Of.
We did a standalone episode, actually, on
sure
this.
Sure did.
And so this is going to be an anthology series, meaning that you're going to see a bunch of the same actors, but they're not playing the same characters. So think American Horror Story.
Right. Because like, I saw Henry Thomas in the trailer.
So he's in it. And the young girl, the youngest girl from the family, she's in it too. Now, they could down the road maybe cross over. That's what they did in The Haunting of Hill House. But I think this Bly Manor one is actually based off of like another super old book. But it has the same kind of feel.
Yeah.
It has the same feel to it. Looks like there's some creepy doll action happening.
You had some dolls. You had some creepy noises. You had some ghosts. You had
a
little girl.
Scary. Like, it was like a 1 minute trailer and it was scary.
As you know, my thought, little girls and dolls.
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Recipe for nightmares.
Yep.
Nightmares. You're going to have nightmares.
Nightmares.
Should we get to the next and newest portion?
Speaking of nightmares.
I believe...
This is This Week in Horrible Rossi Takes.
All right, Davey, you actually had an opportunity. You were the one that was telling me about this before I'd even listened. So they did a couple of episodes. Of course, Rossi, he and Billy D do the Pop Culture Pile Driver podcast. Mm-hmm. Started out as wrestling. Now they do all kinds of stuff. They did do a SummerSlam thing, though. So if you're into wrestling, they talked about SummerSlam. But they also did Best Song of 1983. And I know you were listening to it live.
I was commenting the entire time.
And you texted me saying we have some good examples or some good material for this week in Horrible Rossi Takes.
Yes.
So which one jumped out at you the most? I have one that I think stuck out to me.
So he said we brought up Prince in the song. They brought up Prince in the song 1999, which is, it's a good Prince song. It's not my favorite Prince song, but it's a very good Prince song and one of the best songs that come out that year.
Yeah,
that did not make their final four.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Because, well, one of the reasons is because Rossi said, and I quote, that the song that he did for Batman with the Vicky Vale line in it is the best Prince song.
I was hoping he might have been kidding on that, but I wasn't sure.
I think he was. But you don't.
It might have been a joke. Nobody was really enjoying it. Therefore, maybe not a joke.
Maybe not a joke.
You're supposed to enjoy jokes. There's supposed to be some laughter.
Right.
I didn't hear any.
And the thing I took the most umbrage with is that the album of the year that year was Michael Jackson's Thriller, which many regard as the greatest pop album of all time, which contained, by the way, what I consider to be the greatest pop song of all time, that being Billie Jean by Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Now,
Rossi named him twice. Go ahead.
Rossi said that he would not nominate a song by Michael Jackson because of his alleged
Ryan. Come on, dude.
I'm using the words that I'm not saying it didn't happen. Okay.
Watch a documentary for me one time.
Okay. Well,
he's not a good dude.
He's not a good dude, right? But if we start going down that rabbit hole of people who aren't very nice dudes, right? Yeah. Marvin Gaye married his first cousin who was like 15 and like beat the hell out of her. Are we going to talk about that?
Well, I didn't nominate Marvin Gaye songs.
Well, Jerry Lee Lewis, same thing, married his cousin who was like 13. I think Priscilla Presley was like 16 when Elvis married her. If we're going to talk about people who are creepy, like we're going to start circling the drain a little bit. We can separate the artist and the music.
All right. So what's the worst take? What's his worst take then?
His worst take was that he didn't want anything from Michael Jackson to make it for Song of the Year in 1983, and then nominated Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners, which is a song about a guy named poor old Johnny Ray who sees a girl who is now grown up, who is still very young, and is trying to coerce her into, you know.
What? No, I don't.
Intercourse.
Oh my God. Now, really?
It's a very problematic song. Now, the song was written, the guy who Dexy's Midnight Runners, the lead says Nick something is his name. He wrote it about a girl that he grew up with, but the song is about a guy trying to coerce a young girl into having sex with him.
Jesus H.
That gets in, but Michael Jackson doesn't.
I was most offended by, he said the song Africa by Toto sucks.
Right.
I don't think it doesn't suck.
It does not suck.
It's a nice song. It's a good song.
That is a nice song.
I like that song.
Might I add, and I brought this up in the chat, that the studio band for Thriller, the greatest pop band of all time, 90% of the music you hear on that album is played by the band Toto. Not a lot of people know that. They were the studio band for that.
All right,
and only thing Eddie Van Halen played in Beat It is the solo.
Okay.
So that's not a good take.
The music takes.
Sorry, I'm a music nerd coming out.
Don't apologize, Ryan. It's still not as good as him wanting to be an ostrich, but we beat that into the ground last week.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, let's get to the next point, because we have a huge topic du jour today. So
by the way,
he
also said in the music episode that he stuck by that, the ostrich thing.
That's just being stubborn.
He didn't back down. He's just being stubborn.
That's just being stubborn. There's so many animals.
Mm-hmm. It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, David, what do you have?
Well, first, what I have is this, as always, is brought to you by the good people of Wild Bill Soda. Go to wildbillsoda.com, use the promo code Ron Von D. Look at that, the blazing black cherry. Rich
Love Keith. A blazing black cherry.
Woo! They got all sorts of flavors. They got sauces. They got hot sauces. Look behind me. Look at the display behind me. They got everything you need. Mm-hmm. Use the promo code Ron Von D. Get yourself some goddamn soda pop and some barbecue sauces. I will recommend the Carolina mustard sauce.
Okay.
Will knock your socks off. That stuff is amazing.
I'm not even wearing any socks.
Not even wearing any socks. We're in Tevas, action sandals. All right. Video game news here.
Yes, please.
This is the week that we have been talking about for some time now. Because
this is huge. This is huge. Shit or get off the pot time.
Yeah. So we have, I have preloaded and ready to rock tonight as a early release, but it technically comes out the 4th, is Marvel's Avengers. From Crystal Dynamics. So that game is coming out. On the very same day, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remastered is coming out. We are going to be busy, busy, busy. Now, I know which way you're leaning, Rich.
I want to skateboard.
All I want to do is skateboard. And I will.
I want to listen to Goldfinger and skateboard. That's it.
I can't wait to hear that soundtrack again. You can skip the songs. You can like replay. You can set your playlist. I can't wait to see like all the old skaters and make my own again. Like that was so much fun. I'm so excited to play it. I'm equally as excited to play Avengers. I think that game has a lot of potential. I just hope that they took the time. They did three betas for Christ's sake. I hope they listened to people. Yeah. I hope they fine tuned it. I hope it's really good.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the story. I'm looking forward to play Spider-Man in a different capacity. The other news this week. One game that I saw, I tweeted it out. There's a game coming out called Bullets Per Minute.
Oh yeah. That's pretty cool.
It looks like Doom. It's a Norse, you play as a Valkyrie, so it has a Norse mythology kick to it, but it's like a dungeon crawler. Like you unlock, like you go into a room, fight a bunch of enemies, and you like you get loot. Like that's, I love dungeon crawlers, I love roguelike, but it's first person shooter. Right. And the kick to this game is that you get more points and do more damage if you shoot and reload on the beat. So there's like this awesome soundtrack playing.
Oh my
gosh. As the drum beats hit, you have to like shoot on beat.
Kind of like a Baby Driver.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Yeah. And it's kind of like marrying the two things that I love very much, that being music and video games together. Guns, so I'm actually super excited about it. Fun Arvon D fact. You know how they have those IQ tests online?
You got a 250?
No, I didn't. But they also do one where you can, they play like a beat like this. And then they count down, and then they drop the beat out, and you have to hit the space bar to where you think the beat would be.
Oh, cool.
I actually have perfect rhythm.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's...
I did it several times.
You might want to take a rhythm test. Twitter bio.
I might. Perfect rhythm.
I have perfect rhythm.
And I scored 48 on the Wonderlic test. So there that is. Anyway.
Is that real? You got a 48 on the Wonderlic?
I did.
Come on.
It's a logic test. It's easy. All right. Anyway,
why didn't you should have played football in the Ivy League?
Because as you know, my body is garbage.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling you got a different score on your body.
I was telling people, when Joe was streaming, I was telling of all of my broken bones. It is not a
injury history.
Speaking of football, so Madden 21 released this week, and they did this thing where it was on Twitter, and someone showed the Patriots Super Bowl celebration in Madden the last 4 years, it is the exact same.
Oh, wow.
It is, and they did it like...
That's pretty cool.
It's the exact same thing.
That's pretty cool.
So Madden 21 releases, and I'm reading this report from Fox News, so you know it's true.
Yeah.
That Madden 21 release falls flat with gamers as they call for the NFL to drop Madden together, drop the NFL completely. Like EA has fucked this up so much that people are like, stop making it.
Well, aren't they making it with, isn't the other studio ability 2K. To make 2K. Yeah. 2K. Yeah. Is it next year they're going to make a game?
It's next year. So it's not this. It'll be next year that's coming out. It'll be 22.
That's but good. They need competition. It'll be great.
They need competition because Madden's been, they've signed EA. Did this exclusive deal with the NFL, and they have been on cruise control. My nephew, who's 15, who lives with me, was coming. He was telling me, like, oh, are you going to get Madden? Can we play Madden together? I'm like, bro, I haven't played a Madden game in 15 years. 15 years I haven't played Madden. And he's like, why? I'm like, because it hasn't changed.
Right.
The game's the same. If anything, it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. No, it
Like, you remember what year was it where, like, I could be rolling out left and throw the ball like this, and the ball would go right?
Yeah. I forget what year that was, but yeah, I mean,
it's brutal.
I don't want
like it was so broken. I'm thinking like the Michael Vick year was fun to play just because it was so broken. Like Michael Vick was so good.
He was stupid. Yeah, we wouldn't play with him. Oh, we wouldn't play with him.
He's the Madden odd job.
Yeah. Well, there was an article, I didn't even read it, but it was like, how does Lamar Jackson in this version compare to that?
Yeah, there's an article out there. I didn't read it.
I saw the headline. That was enough for me.
Yeah, well, that's all the news that's fit to dance to right now. I'm so excited. I'm excited for Marvel's Avengers.
Okay.
I am pumped for Tony Hawk.
I'm even more pumped for the topic du jour. Are you ready for the topic du jour?
I thought we just did that.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because this week it is the documentary film Man vs. Snake, The Long and Twisted Tale of Nibbler. This was a movie that came out 2015.
Mm-hmm.
You put it on my radar, I want to say a couple of years back. I think it was a pick of the podcast of yours.
Yep.
And It might have been on Netflix then, or it was, yeah, it was. It was on Netflix then. Mm-hmm. It's not anymore, but it's on Tubi. T-U-B-I. It's free.
It's free.
I watched it on there.
Yeah.
You get it, like, you go to Tubi.com. If you have an Xfinity box, it's like one of the little video apps.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's like preloaded on there.
Warning, there are commercials, but brief. It's like one commercial.
But not many.
Not many.
Not many. And this
I would
is
say three or four.
This is like a smooth 92 minutes.
Yep.
You know, hour and a half, you're in and out. Even with the commercials, you're less than an hour and 40 with all the commercials. Even definitely less. Let's begin spoiler free, as we do with all of our, although we're going to do just a brief spoiler free part because we told people to watch this. It's been out for a while and it may not even matter if you've seen it or not, because we're going to explain to you everything that happens in this.
And I can't wait to talk about spoiler. I can't wait to talk. About
I can't wait for some of these characters. First, Ryan, let me ask you, did you like it?
I fucking loved it. I love this movie.
I loved it too.
Yeah.
I loved it. Now, again, the King of Kong was and is maybe the greatest video game documentary and one of the greatest documentaries of all time.
It is the gold standard of video game documentaries. Like, the gold standard.
It's incredible. It had everything. And we did it. You can check the archives. It was like a long time ago we did that episode. And I maybe even like episode 12 or something.
And it was still one of my
favorite. Maybe re-released it or something. But
and I said it had everything, and people were like, well, it didn't have nudity. It did. Remember when Mr. Awesome was doing his pick? He had like the naked girls with him, Mr. Awesome.
Yeah.
Roy Schilt. Yeah.
Roy Schilt. So the beauty of this is, if you've seen The King of Kong, some of those characters overlap in this, including Billy Mitchell. And Davey, you've referenced before sort of a different side of Billy Mitchell.
Yeah.
It's not Billy Mitchell the gamer in this.
No.
He does not play Nibbler.
Nope.
Which we'll get to. Walter Day, the founder of Twin Galaxies, he is a big part of this movie.
Yep.
Dwayne Richard, who had a very small role in The King of Kong, has a much bigger role in this movie.
Yes.
Maybe another side guy, or I think that's about
there
it.
Were some guys, the Somebody guy they talked to, the guy with the guy with the eyes, whose name I don't remember. He was in King of Kong too, and I think the guy's next to him.
Oh, he was in King of Kong?
He was for a little bit, yeah.
Oh, okay. I believe you were talking about shoot. I think I
you know who I'm down. If you watch the movie, it's the guy who has two eyes. Neither one of them is looking at the camera.
Stop.
I'm being honest. Like,
stop it.
All right.
Stop it right now. But so there's anyway, there's a few other carryovers, but that's sort of the main thing you need to know. Prior to this film, I'd never heard of Nibbler.
Yes.
But you have played this game?
I've never played it, but I knew what it was. Knew what Nibbler was. And to explain it, it's the very first, remember Snake on your phone? It's like that.
Yeah.
But it's a set, like, think of like on a Pac-Man board, but Snake. So like you eat dots, and as you eat dots, you get longer and the game gets faster. And
the only way you die is if you bite your own tail.
Or if you run out of time.
Or you run out of time without getting all the dots. You're right. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where there's no like bad guys or like anything to get you, but you grow, as you were saying.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, by the end of it, you're taking up almost the entire map.
Right.
So it's just a series of mazes, and then they go on like a loop. But there's way more than like Pac-Man. So Pac-Man, it's like two, three stages tops, and then they repeat them.
This so they talk about
way more.
Yeah, and they talk about kill screens in King of Kong, where they talk like Donkey Kong and Pac-Man have a kill screen. This doesn't. It just keeps going.
Forever. It's a marathon game.
It's a marathon game.
Which there's not a ton of these, but this isn't the only marathon game, but there is.
And they think they said it was the first game to have 9 digits for a score.
Yeah, so that was
the whole thing.
Sort of launched. That's like the whole idea is like, how do you get a billion points? Mm-hmm. It's the only game that even allows for that. By the way, Patrick O'Malley is the name of the guy you're thinking of. How would you compare this documentary to The King of Kong? If The King of Kong is a hard 6 out of 6, and is just great characters, great villain, but also to me a video game that we've all played. So like that might be to me the biggest difference, because I'd never played Nibbler, but they do. It's the same type of thing. It's the same. You have like a guy who's the champion, a guy who's the challenger. So like different things talking about the records, and it's similar. Again, I would probably say King of Kong is better, but this is the closest thing I've seen to it.
Yeah, and I think what King of Kong has going for it, like we said, I mean, this the characters are compelling. You have a clear villain, and you have a guy who's supposed to be like this underdog hero, right? And their battle back and forth. That's just great storytelling.
Yeah.
This, it has a little bit of that rivalry, but we'll get into it in spoilers. It's not enough. Like, there's not enough, like, back and forth with the two guys, or three guys, rather.
So, for me, without giving away too much right now, you don't hate anybody in this.
No. And, like, that you need it. That's what I think gives King of Kong the edge. Is like, you really fucking, at the end of it, like...
Not only did you hate Billy, but you hated Brian Koo so fucking much.
And Twin Galaxies, we'll bring up again. They're scumbags, too, and we'll bring that up again.
Twin Galaxies is pretty shady. By the way, Steve Wiebe, who was sort of the hero, maybe not even in his own family.
They
kind of shit on him. But for the viewer, you were rooting for Steve Wiebe, who was like a teacher in Washington, flew all the way out to Fun Spot for the whole thing and was trying to win. Did you know, and you probably did, but 2009, Steve Wiebe put out a contemporary Christian album?
I did not know that. But did you know?
What was it? The King of Song.
Come on.
The King of Song.
Did you also know that in the movie Four Christmases, Steve Wiebe plays Reese Witherspoon's brother-in-law? He's actually the husband of Kristen Chenoweth in the movie. That's Steve Wiebe.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
He has no lines in the movie, but you see him.
Like, doesn't constantly. Need any. Doesn't need any. Good for him. The other thing, I would compare it to King of Kong. I would also compare it to Christopher Guest movies. Because there are a few scenes in this that might even be too fake for Christopher Guest. Mainly the Walter Day stuff. The Walter Day stuff is just ripped from a Christopher Guest movie this has nothing to do with the fucking video game.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because my favorite scene in this movie has to do with Walter Day.
It's incredible. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
You know exactly which one I'm talking about.
It's so good. Yeah. All right, what would you give a score for this?
5. Hard 5.
No, I'm right there with you. Yep. Rock hard 5. Obviously room for improvement, but I've seen way, way, way worse documentaries. And I actually liked it more in repeat viewings.
Yes.
When I watched it again after a couple of years, I watched it again. And then I actually watched it twice. I watched it Friday and Sunday or whatever.
I did too. I watched it after the, not to bring it back to that, but after the Bozeman news, and I knew we were doing this, I watched it to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
And then I watched it again today. Yeah. And like you said, it has that Christopher Guest thing where, like, you hear things again. Like, every time you watch it, you get something different. Like,
so good.
Yeah, we'll get into all that stuff. Like,
so good.
Best scenes, worst scenes, all that stuff. Yeah.
So we'll get into spoilers now. And basically, this whole thing is set up in a way where they introduce you to Nibbler, and they're talking about in Iowa, there's like the Twin Galaxies is just getting launched up, and everybody's playing video games, and they have a Nibbler machine, which they know is not very popular around the world. Most arcades don't have Nibbler, but the ones that do, what stands out about it is, like, you could put in a quarter and you could play for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and you could play forever. And so what's amazing is they set up the beginning of this documentary with a quote from an Olympic gold medal marathoner, Emil Zatopek, who says, quote, "It's at the borders of pain and suffering that the men are separated from the boys."
Valerie Borchin.
Cut to, it might as well be, cut to an Iron Man competition, or what they call it, not the real Iron Man, but Iron Man. And it says 2011 Iron Man, and there's a prayer circle going on as they're getting set to go out there and get the billion points. But that's really what it comes down to, because there was a challenge back in the 80s where it was, whoever gets to a billion points would win a Nibbler machine.
Which, after you played Nibbler for 37, 45 hours, that's the last goddamn thing
I want. The fucking thing about this is a game that if you want the high score, you have to be awake a minimum a day and a half. Mm-hmm. Like a full day and a night and a half.
What is the
plus hours?
What is your longest? Longest playing video games, Rich. Playing video games.
Probably
clean it up.
6.5 minutes.
6.5. Like real, like once.
Counting from
insertion.
When? Insertion? No.
Yeah.
I count it from when the lights go out.
So 10. So more close to
10. I'm saying 10 minutes. I'm saying 10. I don't know if I would get a cosign on that. My New Year's resolution not going as well as anticipated.
Great callback. Great call.
And it's not about effort. It's not
it's not like I'm not trying.
It's not I'm not trying to throw the game. What's my longest? You're gonna get a straight answer with what's your longest?
I think I've played video games straight for 30 hours. That's the longest
what
I've
the
ever done.
Fuck? Are you serious? 30 straight hours? Mm-hmm. I've never done that.
It was from, I think it was from like 8 o'clock at night to like midnight the next day. Like, obviously you take bathroom breaks and stuff and like you eat while you're playing, but like 30 hours.
But like without even like sleeping. Oh, I'm nowhere near that. It would probably be like eight, something like that when I was younger.
When Half-Life mods came out and people made the first Counter-Strike, that fucked me up, man. That was the summer going into my senior year of high school. That fucked me up. Like, I was not on a regular, and then same thing with Timothy. Like, I've slept for like a whole day after.
I've never like not slept. Like maybe I'd go to bed at like 3 or whatever, but I've never done like a whole thing like that.
And it's funny, like the things they talk about in this, like what happens to you when you don't sleep, like that shit's real. Like I can speak a little bit about that, but I will wait till spoilers to get to that.
Well, that's what's crazy. So this is a thing where if you want the billion points, like you are setting it up for. It's next level. Like, yes, there's obviously skill involved, but there's also just the willingness to be like, I am going to be awake for this long and committed to it for this long.
Yep.
But what's also crazy is they get into like all the different issues with the game, and it's like, in like trying to achieve a game, like oh yeah, sometimes like the joystick like stops working. Sometimes like a kid will like unplug it. Sometimes like you'll get hurt. Like there's just like a million different things that could be wrong with the game.
And what was the guy who originally Steve Asaki or something like that?
Tom Asaki
had the, and then he was playing at Twin Galaxies and someone like kicked the plug out.
Kicked the plug out. And then he had like an elbow injury. But so Tom Asaki was like a really good video gamer in the 80s. So again, in the 80s, and they get into this in King of Kong as well, like Twin Galaxies, as shady as they are at times, you got to give them credit. They were ahead of the game as far as competitive gaming.
Yeah.
And like Billy Mitchell talks about even in this documentary. And again, he's like a third party in this. Like he knows the players, but he doesn't fuck around with Nibbler. He's like, I got no use for Nibbler.
No, he said he
had a good line. Go ahead.
He said it was the second you put the quarter in, you want to be anywhere but in front of it. Like you just don't.
He's like, the noise that it makes or whatever.
And you hear it the whole time.
He's like, have I played? Probably. But he's like, but you just, you don't want to.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, so Thomas, Twin Galaxies kind of ahead of the time when it came to competitive gaming. And Billy Mitchell references how like back then, like in the 80s, you were playing, maybe you thought you were good at a game, but you had no way of comparing it.
No.
He's like, you could even call the manufacturer of the game and like, what's the high score? And they're like, oh, high score. Yeah. So Twin Galaxies at least put that on the map. And so Tom Asaki was this champion. He'd never reached a billion points, but he was the highest like recorded score.
Yes.
So he was playing. He's not from Iowa, but he was playing in Iowa at Twin Galaxies, and he was playing. And so enter the star of the movie.
Yes.
Timothy McVeigh.
And they're very clear when they introduce him. Not that Tim McVeigh.
A kid who's from Iowa. So he's like a hometown kid, just like a classic, like just, you know, Joey Bag of Donuts.
Yep.
And he shows up and he's 16 years old and he sees the group watching Tom Asaki and he looks at him and he's like, what's going on here? And they're like, oh, they're playing Nibbler. And like, this guy's the best at it. And he's and McVeigh even says, he's like, I looked at him, I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter what he gets. Like, I'll wipe the score off when it's my turn. He's like, I never even played, but he was just like talking shit.
Yeah.
But then he became obsessed with it and then he got good at it. And then that's when the creators of Nibbler put forth that challenge, I think along with Twin Galaxies. And it was like, whoever gets to a billion points will be able to get the console, this giant console to bring to their
house. Fucking cabinet, like to put in their house. Like,
and so that's no it. So the first challenge, it's really like a series of challenges in this movie. And the first one is McVeigh versus Asaki. And they do like a cartoon version because obviously it's in the 80s. They don't have any footage of it, really. They have some pictures from like the paper and shit.
But cartoons in this movie are legit. Like they're kind of cool.
They're good. Oh, they're like Billy Dees.
Yeah, they're great.
They're great. So McVay gets them billion points.
Mm-hmm.
He played for like 40 hours, maybe 36 to 40 hours.
36 to 40 hours.
They name a day after him. There's Tim McVay Day, and they give him a key to the city. They're like calling the newspaper. Iowa. Yeah, just in Nowhere, Iowa.
Yeah.
However, you find out many years later, like 20-something years later, mm-hmm. that just after that time, there may have been somebody else to break that record. Not only get a billion points, but break Tim's record. By the way, Tim got the billion points and left. He still had guys remaining on the board, but he was like, I was fried. So he just left. There was,
he didn't talk to anybody.
Dead.
He just left.
He just won the billion points. So then here comes Enrico Zanetti from Italy, who said he got a video game magazine and saw what the high score was in Nibbler and then just like played, and then had the high score, but it wasn't recognized by Twin Galaxies.
And this is where we diverge from King of Kong, because Enrico Zanetti, like, for as good a video game player as he was, you could tell the filmmakers were trying to get a little bit out of him, like to be pissed off that like his, and he just didn't, he just fucking didn't care. He'd
moved on in his life.
He's like, I don't give a shit.
He's doing other things. He's like, yeah, when I was a kid, I played that game for hours and hours and hours. And he's like, you know,
they didn't recognize his score.
There's even a quote like, from Walter Day. He's like, well, as far as I know, he's not like petitioning Twin Galaxies to get the record.
Yeah, he's like, I know I did. And he's like such a normal dude.
Family noted when he's the most normal guy in the whole thing.
Yeah, and he's just like, I know I did it. Like, there's people here I can talk to that said I did it. It was in the newspaper. Like, I don't need fucking Twin Galaxies.
Yeah.
But that, we're getting a little spoiler. Do we get into spoilers yet?
We're in spoilers.
Yeah, we're in spoilers. All right. So this is where it kind of, because you want that guy to be pissed off, and you want that guy to go back at Tim McVay, and he just doesn't.
He never even plays again.
No, he's like, I'm fucking, he's like a second degree, third degree black belt.
Yeah, he's like in great shape. Like, he's just like, yeah, he didn't look like a guy who even plays video games. Mm. Oh, one of my favorite parts I forgot to mention was they actually did have some footage, not of the actual gameplay from 1983 when Tim McVay set the record when he was 16, but they were interviewing people outside. And you remember the one kid, he seemed kind of stoned. He actually looked like Sean Penn.
Yeah.
And he goes, he did that? He got a billion points on Nibbler? What the fuck is Nibbler?
That I knew, because that's right at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And he was so amped up. He's like, no way. He got a billion points? What the fuck is Nibbler? Like, I was like, this movie's going to be awesome.
But that's the whole point, though. It's like, you hear billion points. That's crazy because there are no games that go to a billion points. Right?
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh, somebody has like the record. You're like, okay, that's kind of cool. But nobody knows what Nibbler is. And there's a point where Tim McVay even talks about, like, he just wants Nibbler to get some respect. Hilarious.
It's the dumbest. Oh, he's like almost in tears. And he's like punching stuff. And you're like,
I think he had just played at that point. Oh, the other thing they talk about. They talk about, and they have like a cool graphic for it. They're like, video gamers, they'll compare like the Pac-Man record to like Mount Everest.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, actually K2, like you want to climb K2. They're like, so that's like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it's not as high, but it's equally as challenging.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And they're like, okay. And then they're like, think of like a much, much, much lesser known mountain, and you need to like climb it in a weird way. That's Nibbler.
So like, it's a very like, we like to use the word niche game here. It's a very niche game where like not a lot of people know what it is. It's basically Snake. It takes like the game Snake and Pac-Man. That's Nibbler.
Yeah.
A game. And I think, you know, Billy the Mitchell, like, you play it for 20 minutes and then you're like, this isn't fun anymore.
How challenging is it? Like, do you think anybody who stays up for 40 hours could get like a huge high score? Or do you think there's also skill? It's like skill and an endurance.
I think it's pattern recognition, because there's only so many boards. Like, if you watch
35, maybe
it's 35 boards. So it's pattern recognition. So like you said, I don't think the challenge itself is the game. It's the staying up.
Cause it's crazy. Cause at some point, cause like the better you do, like you get like free guys.
Yeah.
And they talk about how what you do to beat this game or to get a billion points is you have to bank guys. So at some points, Tim McVay has like 122 lives. Mm-hmm. He's like, but then you go take a bathroom break, because what the thing does is it just circles the map. So you're not gaining any points, but you don't die until the time goes down.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh yeah, you can go do whatever you want.
For like 20 minutes.
Take a 20 minute break, come back, and like you're still in it. you know, like, it's just so weird. Like, there's no games like that.
There's none. And I don't think they would make games like that because no. I was watching something with, as an aside, like, at some point, like, video games in the arcade started making less and less money because kids started getting better and better at them. Or they would be like, it's too hard.
Yeah.
So that's when games started getting modded and all that stuff. But this game, you could potentially, like you said, put in a quarter and play for 50 hours
over a day, like, till they close. Yeah. Sure.
As you say, till the cows come home.
Dude, the other thing I meant to mention, the original Tim McVeigh versus Tom Osaki, mm-hmm. is interviewing years later. They're interviewing Walter Day, again, the founder of Twin Galaxies. And Walter says with a straight face, and everything he says, by the way, is with a straight face.
Dead. He's fucking
very
serious. Yeah.
He says, Tom might have been better suited for the fame because he's good looking and he's smoother. The fame. Better suited for the fame. He also refers to Nibbler as a harsh mistress.
A harsh mistress. Now, let's talk about Tim McVeigh. If you said to me, close your eyes. And I want you to picture a guy who has been playing video games for 40 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
In Ottumwa, Iowa. And he has been a competitive gamer for 40 years. What does that person look like?
I'll tell you exactly what he looks like.
What does he look like?
Bam Margera's dad, Phil, with long hair.
With a mullet.
He looks
with
like
bangs.
He's Phil Margera with a mullet.
And rides.
A BMX
bike. BMX bike everywhere and wears sweatsuits. Not like a sweatshirt and sweatpants. He wears sweatsuits.
Sweatsuits. Yep.
And he wears pajama pants to work.
He also has the entire collection of the TV show Alf on display at his house. Did you see his bookshelves?
I didn't see his bookshelf, but I did see Alf. All the Jeff Gordon memorabilia. He was a big Jeff Gordon
NASCAR
fan
guy. Too. Yep. Big NASCAR guy. And loves Guitar Hero.
I love Guitar Hero. I love Guitar Hero. And Rock Band and all those games.
All those things.
You know, Christ. Like, this is a guy who you like, something you think of like a troll that crawls out of their mother's basement.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Timothy McVeigh looks like. Like it you is. Said, Phil Margera.
Phil Margera with a mullet.
Yep.
And then his wife, Tina McVeigh, mm-hmm. sweetheart of a lady.
Sweetheart. A little bit of a freak. It's something I watched in the second run through that you say you notice things. Tongue ring.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay.
Tina McVeigh.
Okay, girl.
No, this ain't working.
So I thought there was a time, we're jumping around a little bit, but that's fine. There was a part where I thought it was about to get real dark. He's playing the game at his house, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the same thing you're thinking of.
No, it is. It is. It has to be.
So he's playing the game at his house. He has a few runs at it as he's trying to get like a billion points again. Actually, he's trying to regain the record at this point. So he's at his house. He has the machine at his house. He's playing. He's getting frustrated. He asks his wife, Tina, for like a dollar bill or a $5 bill.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of something else. Yeah.
You're thinking of something else. But like it quickly like goes away in your mind. But like for like 10 seconds, he's like, give me like a dollar bill. Give me like a $5 bill, like something. Yeah. And she goes, no, Tim, I thought he was going to bump a whole bunch of coke.
I did,
but
too.
He actually needed the dollar to, like, clean out the controller.
The contact.
Because the game was, like, slowing down or something. But the way she said, oh, no, Tim, I thought he was going to, like, do rails of cocaine and then get back on the Nibbler. And I was going to be like, cheating.
You wouldn't be too far off. Because if you watch the movie again and pay attention to what Tim McVeigh is eating and consuming as he's playing Nibbler, it is atrocious. He is
how many monsters?
Yeah, and he's just like every time you see him, he's got like a monster or like a rock star in his hand.
That's why I know Tina's ride or die, because he'd been playing for like 35 hours and she's like, do you want your last monster? Like, she's like feeding the monsters. Like, she wanted that record, I think, more than he did.
And at one point, he says he's talking to Billy Mitchell on the phone because Billy's trying to encourage him to keep going. And Billy's like, have you eaten any? Are you eating? And he's like, oh, I had a McGriddles this morning. And like, he listed off like all this food. And you're like, fucking, I had a 6-inch sub and then I had a McGriddles. And then they bring him like this like gnarly French bread pizza that's his favorite. So he's just like smashing food
and
drinking
energy drinks.
And he's
talking about how he's like, I think I know how like Michael Jordan feels. He's like, I don't know how all these athletes do it. they don't do it that way.
Like Jesus Christ.
So going back to the series of events, it's McVeigh versus Tom Osaki. Then it's like the you find out about Enrico, and then so even though Twin Galaxies hasn't recognized it, Tim's like, well, that probably is the real score.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we go. This is the best part of the whole goddamn movie, is Tim's like, you know, nobody's really playing Nibbler anymore. He's like, the only guy I even know that's like dabbling in it is Dwayne Richard.
Enter fucking Dwayne Richard.
The fucking bad boy of video gaming. This guy, as a young kid, was one of these like wonderkins.
Yep.
And he's from Canada. He is, I would say, still to this day, the best arcade player in the world.
I would agree.
He is good. He is good to great to the best at every single game. A lot of these guys sort of have 2, 3, 4 games, and they're all kind of like ballpark the same ones. Like, I'm good at Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, and Donkey Kong Jr. This guy can go in there, and he's probably the best player in any arcade he goes to. He has a ton of world records. He has a ton of top 2, top 3, top 4, top 5 finishes. And he, if you want a comparison, looks now just like Jonathan Davis, the lead singer of Korn.
I would say how I would describe Dwayne Richard. First of all, everyone who played in arcades growing up, Dream Machine and Fun World in Nashua, New Hampshire, everyone knows this kid. Mine was Chris Sampson. Chris Sampson, you could put him on any game and he would play. I hope he's listening right now. Best arcade video game player I've ever seen. What up, Chris?
Yeah.
And if we describe Timothy McVeigh, if ADHD was a person, it would be Dwayne Richard.
He's, I think, hilarious. I love him. He's my favorite character in either movie. Oh. He has a very small role in King of Kong, because he at that point, I think, was already like the Twin Galaxies World Arcade Champion.
Yeah.
So they brought him to Fun Spot.
And he says in an interview that he was the guy who was supposed to go to Steve Wiebe's house, because he's from Edmonton, so he's actually pretty close to him.
Oh.
And he was the guy who was supposed to go but couldn't. So that's when they sent Mirchak and the other schlub.
And you remember how everybody was shitting on Wiebe? Obviously, it's like the whole movie. Like, you know, Walter Day doesn't really want him to win, and Brian Koo hates him because he loves Billy. If I remember correctly, Dwayne Richard was actually the one kind of giving him a little bit of support, like for coming out to Fun Spot and for doing, like, you know, you kind of legitimized yourself by doing this. And like, he actually was like in his corner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I'll say about Dwayne Richard, this guy, and I don't know if you've seen these or not, Ryan.
I have not.
Two quote unquote documentaries attributed to him. One is called The King of Con, C-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
The other is The Perfect Fraud Man. Both apparently are just vicious takedowns of Billy Mitchell, to the point where Billy Mitchell had them removed from YouTube, although I think you can find them on YouTube right now. And he also sued Dwayne Richard for defamation. I think he was insinuating that he knows people and he knows himself, that Billy Mitchell, maybe not as good as video games as Billy Mitchell claims to be, or as that Twin Galaxy claims to be. The other thing I'll say about these documentary films, they look like they are shot on a potato and they are edited by like a third grader. Like, they're not movies. They're not like this. They're not like King of Kong, but it's just information. I tried watching one the other night. It was 2.5 hours long. I was like, maybe later.
Maybe we'll get into this later. I think it might
have been The Perfect Fraud Man. And so there's also a guy in this movie, Man vs. Snake, who they talk to for like a second when they're talking about like, hey, does Dwayne Richard know anything about computers? Remember that guy? And he's does Dwayne know anything about computers? Yes, he does.
Yes,
that guy's in these movies with him.
Yeah.
Talking about, because he's also like a Pac-Man champion, that guy.
Right. So what happens eventually, as you said, like, so what happens eventually?
I'm just so excited about Dwayne Richard. And by the way, I'm gonna try my damnedest to get him on.
We're trying to get him, because I would love to talk to this guy and like get his, I want to hear it. I want to interview this guy. I have so many questions I would love to ask him. So they go head to head at this thing called MAGFest, which is like this, like, it's the New England Comic Con.
Yes. Of
video game cons. It's in a hotel. It's in like the ballroom of like some shit hotel in Virginia. Right.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to go head to head and they're going to try to get the high score of Nibbler. They're going to try to roll the score, as they say, to a billion points. And they're doing it at the same time.
Yes.
At which point, they're like literally halfway through it, and Dwayne starts freaking out and starts smacking the machine. And the guy who was built the machines was like, I told you the board isn't bolted to the thing. If you
yeah, that poor guy. By the way, yeah. They didn't have the nibbler machines like hours before the event, and that was like the big to do.
That was like, the big
guys
thing.
Going up against it, and they couldn't find it. So they had to like build these boards, which is also a little bit shady how it was going down. But they had just met for the first time. They had talked on the phone, Tim McVay and Dwayne Richard. Yeah. They had just met at MAGFest, which also was the first time Tim McVay had ever been on a plane. So he was worried about going through security as Timothy McVay. And for the last 23 years of his life, he said he slept on a waterbed.
Which.
And therefore, it was going to be really difficult for him to sleep in the hotel.
This guy's like 400 pounds.
He's enormous.
Like, how do you sleep on a water? And if you look at it, it's like a fucking full size. It's not even like a king. It's not even like a queen. It's like a little.
So this him and his wife both sleep in that waterbed, you think?
I guess. I mean, there's got to be like, he's got to go in and like bounce. It's got to be one of those like blob situations where he like.
So they go in there. And what's also kind of gives you a little bit of a red flag, because there's some controversy around this.
Yes.
So what happens is they go in there and they're playing the game. They're going to do like a little warm up and then they're going to get started. So Tim McVay purposely dies and he's like, all right, I'm getting ready to start the game. He goes over and Dwayne Richard's still playing. And Dwayne goes, I've actually had a hard time getting my game going. I'm just going to go with this. Like, he's already at like 13 million points. He's like, I'm just going to keep this going. So Tim's pissed off about it. And it also kind of calls a little bit into question what the hell was going on. Eventually, as you said, Dwayne's game freezes. Mm-hmm. And then it's just frozen and he's like, fuck it. Like, I guess I gotta come back again. One of the craziest scenes in this whole thing is Tim's playing. You can tell he's getting kind of frustrated, getting kind of tired. He's also still pissed that like Dwayne's not even playing anymore.
Right.
And so
the whole thing
is
they're supposed to play together and now he's not playing with them. Yeah.
And now he's not there. And so people are in and out and it's just not as good. So Walter Day gets on the phone with Billy Mitchell
on a Motorola Razr in 2015 or 2012 or whatever.
Yeah. With low battery.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a ballroom. He can't hear him. He just keeps going back to him. He's like, Billy, you got to talk to him. And Billy's like, I can't really hear you, Walter. What do you mean? No, the phone's good. Billy, you there? It's the most like cringe-inducing conversation. And then by the time he's like, I don't know. Like, Tim just needs words of encouragement. And then by the time he goes to give him the phone, Tim had already quit and he's left gone. At this point. Yeah. And by the way, he had 648 million points when he left. So he was a ways away. More
it's
than
a significant
halfway,
amount.
A ways away.
And he says, like, I'm not going to, it's not going to happen.
And
like,
Tina's
I'm not
like wiping her tears away.
She's crying. She cries as much as Steve Wiebe. She cries.
He cries a good
three
amount.
Quarters of the movie. She cries a good amount. And she says how proud of him she is. And he's like, you just fucking sat there like a lump. Right? Like,
so, Ryan, fast forward. So MAGFest comes and goes and it's a bust. Obviously, Tim quit. Dwayne Richards, his game froze. Fast forward, I don't know how many months later, Dwayne Richard playing at his house gets a billion points and breaks both Tim McVay's and Enrico's records. And he is now the nibbler champion. And he says he did it in 35 hours.
Seems
a little impossible.
And you get to see Dwayne Richard's mother, who might be the most Canadian person I've ever heard speak.
Oh my God. That is she's speaking English, but it's just the French accent on top
it's
of it.
Like,
it
is, it's like like deep Edmonton, like Alberta slang. Like,
so what happened here? Because what they do is they show the footage of Dwayne's game and Tim's game. And Dwayne's game is going faster. Like his snake is reloading quicker after like different levels of the board, and everything's a little bit quicker, which means you're not gonna your marathon won't take as long.
Right.
But the question is, did Dwayne Richard do this on purpose, or is this some sort of glitch in the game?
What do you think?
They took it to a couple of places. They took it to a couple of technicians. Mm-hmm. I do think Dwayne would know how to do it. And I think he's smart. He says he even fixes arcade games. So he would know how to do it. He also, it is a little shady that he didn't want to start at the exact same time as Tim because you'd be able to see it on the big screen.
Right.
But once they brought that evidence to him, he was just like, yeah, something's up. Just take my name off the leaderboard.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, wouldn't he have just fought it and been like, what are you talking about? Guys?
Well, I think his saving grace too. And they actually go to the guys who built these circuit boards and they're like, what is it? And they go through all the code. He didn't change any of the code.
No.
And like, they're like, there's no such thing as like code errors. Like the code's there or it isn't. Like the game wouldn't run. So basically what happened was there's a microprocessor on there that has 40 prongs.
Yep.
And one of those prongs malfunctioned, causing the game to go faster. He's a smart guy who works on games. I don't think he could have picked out that specific thing to make that happen. Like, I really don't think.
And yeah, I think gut tells me Dwayne Richard would not have cheated in that environment because you already know you're going to be playing. It's not like he's Rosie Ruiz and cut the end. He still played for 35 hours.
I fucking forgot about Rosie Ruiz. That was an amazing story.
Cheated in the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to play for 35 hours, why not play for 40? It's not like he played for 10.
But, I mean, think Walter Day. The one thing he does say that makes sense, he's like, that's a long time. Like, that makes a ton of difference. If you can finish.
That's true. Your last 5 hours, you're probably a mess.
Yeah, it was like 5 or 6 hours that was like.
But he's also the champion on so many games that I'm just like, he's probably really good at it. Yeah. I don't think he wanted it. The guy seems nuts. And I think if his game didn't freeze, he would have just played with Tim side by side the whole time. Like,
right.
I don't think that he cheated. And those guys, right, who they pull the board apart and they're looking at it and they're like, yeah, this one part malfunctioned, and rather than like the game just crashing, the game just goes a little bit faster, like twice.
Which
as
is
fast.
Like it's like a
but the game's
thing.
Still slow anyway.
Right,
it's a slow plotting game.
And shit, what was I going to say? I mean, what makes it like you said? I think that's one of Dwayne Richard's scores. That's one of many, right?
Yeah.
And that's Tim McVay's thing. So I think I would have been like, dude, like let him.
Yeah, you're good.
Like I have like all these other records and all these other games. Like just
so you know what I don't like about Twin Galaxies. I don't know if I get to this point. There's a lot.
I'm gonna tell you. Yeah.
But one thing before I forget is I don't like they just take like your best score. So say like you have 1,000,000 points and you have 1,000,005 points.
Mm-hmm.
Your 1,000,005 points would be on the leaderboard, but your 1,000,000 points wouldn't be.
Right. So if you look at their thing right now, Tim McVay is still the record holder for Nibbler.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Because there's some discussion on that.
But that's his only score. So if he could potentially have the top five scores.
He should be like five of the top 10 easy. Yeah. Should be Tim McVay. Mm-hmm. So now Tim's trying to start it. And like, so he was going to try to beat, Dwayne Richard, but then even when Dwayne Richards got wiped off, he's like, well, there's still Enrico's score out there. So like he goes to keep playing. So now he's trying at home. And another one of these ridiculous, like Christopher Guest type scenes happens when a buddy of his shows up to his house and just starts talking about how good the milk at the end of cereal is. Remember this thing?
That was fucking incredible.
They let him just like ramble on. He's like, you know, like the best part of cereal is the milk. Like cereals, that is the milk. Why don't they sell that? Why don't they just have, you know, like Cocoa Pebbles or Fruit Loops, but just the milk? And then you go in the store and you buy it. I'd buy that.
I'd drink it right now. And you're like,
yeah, that's your idea. Of course you'd buy it. But so like, that's let me go for like 5 minutes talking about cereal milk.
Oh, that's a great idea. Like that sounded like a Kramer idea. Like a Kramer in Seinfeld idea.
I know, but do you think he saw the documentary cameras and just thought they were like Shark Tank?
Or like, he's like,
these guys have money.
They have cameras and a microphone. I'm going to pitch it to him.
I'm going to pitch it. I've been sitting on the cereal milk idea forever. And they're like, go ahead.
So then my favorite part of the movie happens where Tim McVay is trying to set this record at home. Right. He starts talking to Billy Mitchell and Billy's like, where's Walter? Because Walter is in Iowa. He's right there. Like Walter should be there to be there in person to see you do this.
Right.
Cut to Walter Day. He tells the most ridiculous fucking story as to why he's not there. It's amazing. It starts off with him saying that in 1968, he lived in California and he could bench press 315 pounds.
I was 19 years old, very robust, could bench press 310 pounds.
He says, even some of the girls came up to me and said, Walter, we just want to let you know that all the girls think you have the hottest bod on the beach. Cut to about how he then got into drugs in Haight-Ashbury scene, like the, you know, the San Francisco, like that whole scene.
Super. Yep.
Then he gets into transcendental meditation, which takes him throughout his whole life. How he talks about how it like fixed his nervous system and how like he's lived this life.
Where'd he go? Like India? Where'd he go?
So then he starts talking about how he started doing this thing called Panchakarma, where they rub you down with these all these lotions. It's in India, and they do these massages, and they give you these enemas, and it's supposed to be like this great spiritual thing. And then on the way home on the plane, I got the flu, so that's why I can't go.
That was like, unbelievable.
That is the most mind-blowing, this mind-numbing fucking story I've ever heard in my life.
That was the biggest,
out loud funny.
That was the biggest Christopher Guest role. That would have been a Christopher Guest thing, and you would have thought it was too outrageous.
Like,
they said, hey, Walter, we just want to tell you you have the hottest bod on the beach.
Like, why didn't you go see Tim score that Nibbler thing? Well, in 1968, and I was living on the beach and blah, blah. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And then he goes, but if I feel better, maybe I'll go over there.
Yeah, that's how he ends it. He's like, if I feel better, maybe I'll go.
He didn't. And so Tim doesn't get it. He gets really close, $945 million.
Right. And at one point, there's a line. If you blink, you'll miss it. His wife says to him, Tina says to him, can I get you anything? And his response is,
a gun.
A gun. Like, what the fuck?
Like, and so she got him a gun.
She did not. She didn't get him a gun. Ended. She thought he was going to do blow off the Nibbler.
I thought he was going to bump rails. So then she's like, he like storms off, punches something. There are people sitting there. They're all kind of shook. The dogs are barking. And then she's like, Tim, do you want to enter your name in? He comes back and he types in S-U-X.
Sucks.
So... So this is all. So again, so now they go to do it again, and this time Tim on Christmas, nobody goes to the house, so it's just him and Tina, and he gets the record. He now has the record. But what also happens is, and this is also enter where Twin Galaxies sucks.
Yes.
Now that Tim has the record, they're like, you know what? There's enough evidence that Enrico in 1984 also had 1 billion points. It wasn't as many as Tim has, but we're going to recognize Enrico now
after the fact. And so they waited until Tim McVeigh broke Enrico's record to recognize Enrico's score.
Unbelievable.
If I were Enrico and he was so gracious about it, he was so nice about it. And he's like, it's nice to know that like I did have this record for so long. And he was super cool about it and super like Italian and like laid back. And, I would have told if someone came to my house 25, 26 years after I had held a world record for that long. And then the whole time they're like, there's not enough evidence. My record gets broken. And now you say there's enough evidence. I would have told them to take that plaque,
shine it up real nice
and stick it up your Rudy Poo candy ass. I would have put it on the ground and pissed on it in front of Walter Day. That's what I would have done.
Would have been incredible. Would have been a great moment in Twin Galaxies history. Mm-hmm. So they also showed Tim at work. And did you notice the size of the thermos he was drinking out of?
Yes. And it was from the famous truck stop Come and Go. K-U-M and Go. And you know that was not water. And that the amount of pop.
Was that 10 gallons? How many gallons was that?
I think
my gas tank for my tractor is not that big.
It's 2 gallons. I'm guessing. I think it's 2 gallons.
It's too many gallons, whatever it is. And he had like a straw sticking out of it. He had it on his desk.
Yeah.
It was enormous. So here's what's interesting, too. So in the end credits scene of this movie, they pop up a couple of guys. So there's a kid named Elijah Hader who in June of 2012 scored 1 billion. 42 million points. Then cut to in November of 2012, Rick Carter played for 53 hours and had a score of 1,231,000,000. So you would think that would bump Tim McVeigh to three, like Dwayne Richard to four and Rico to five or whatever. Cause Dwayne Richard actually does have a score of like 833 million.
It's like top five or top six.
He's on the leaderboard.
He's on the board.
Not for the one that he did at home and had the record, but Dwayne Richard is in the top five. But if you go to the Twin Galaxies website right now, it doesn't recognize Rick Carter or Elijah Hader, even though the movie says both of them have higher scores than Tim McVeigh. I don't really get it. I also, the Twin Galaxies website is like dorkpodcast.blogspot.com right. type of quality. Like it's right. not a great website.
It's basic. It's basic yeah. HTML stuff. Like yeah. there's no bells and whistles there.
No, not at all.
So I looked it up. The Come and Go large soda, right? It's not as big as I thought it was. It's 58 ounces or 52 ounces.
Oh, that seems really light to me.
But it's a dollar. And if you go and you can refill it for a dollar, like you buy like the thing and then you
good deal.
You can fill it for a dollar.
If nothing else, that's a great deal.
That's a steal. You can drink 52 yeah. ounces of ice cold ginger ale. You know, I would do it.
I know you would. You'd get the refill too. That's so much though. And so that's at the Come and Go.
Come and Go. Yeah.
Come on. That can't be real.
That's real. Look at the, and when he drinks it, it's on the thing.
Dude, the Come and Go.
It's a West Des Moines, Iowa based Come and Go.
So all right.
It's basically Iowa's Wawa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you think the deal is with the record? Like, who do you think has the record, and like, why is it not Rick Carter? It seems like it should be Rick Carter.
Well, Rick, I think did he get like $1.4 billion? And that Tim McVay score. Oh, he did. He what was his final score?
His final score was $1.231 billion.
Yeah, that should be it.
53 hours.
That should be it. Right.
And it's weird because Rick Carter's name is on the Twin Galaxies site, but it's not, it's for like some other offshoot of Nibbler. It's not the Nibbler arcade game. It's confusing. I went to look it up to see like who they recognize on there, and it's still weird.
And I was looking at McVay's right now. Camp. Yeah. McVay also holds the record for Nibbler for most points with five guys max, which is like over a million points.
Another, yeah. Oh. So he's definitely good at the game, but then part of it is just wanting to do it. So that weeds out so many people.
Yeah.
Like, how many people do you think actually have tried to get a perfect score in Pac-Man versus have actually tried to play Nibbler for 40 hours?
There's like they said, it's a handful of people. Like, there's nobody would ever do that. And by the way, I forgot to bring this up. Did you not think that the guy who was the technician who looked at Dwayne Richards' board, you know what I'm talking about? The guy with like, he had like the
he
white
looked
hair.
Like the bad guy from Troll 2.
Hey, that's good. He looked like one of the trolls from Troll 2. He 100%. Looks exactly like one of them.
He did.
he looks like a troll from Troll 2.
He 100% did.
How did you know I was going to say that?
Because that's what I saw. As soon as I saw the guy, I was like, holy shit.
He looks like a bad, like, it looks that like guy. Hoggle, or that and like Hoggle from Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That guy just loves fixing arcade games, though.
Like, they got him in like this little room, and he's like, meh, you know? But how about like Tim McVay's office? They just put him in like a little cubicle and like shut the door.
It's like a dog cage.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I just come in here and I just do this or whatever.
It's my crate. I got my blanket over here and I got my bone. You know, we're fine.
He's like, he even admits that he's like, nah, my life's, you know, nothing special. Kind of boring.
I know, but like he talks about all these responsibilities he has.
Yeah.
Like you sit in that thing and like you just, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you do.
I don't know what you do. Yeah. Play Nibbler, Guitar Hero.
Fuck.
I do kind of want to play Nibbler like once after watching this.
I think you'll get sick of it after like 15 minutes. I'm guarantee you. Like, you'll be like, this is stupid.
Or do you think I could be the champ?
You don't. You do not have the attention span for 40. Like
I couldn't. Said, I couldn't play for 40 minutes.
You don't like doing this more than an hour and a half. Like, how are you going to do?
I honestly couldn't do it for 40 minutes. No. I'd get bored of it. And if I'm not good right away, I'd quit.
If you're not good right away, it's stupid. And
it is
stupid.
And why would anybody play it? It's stupid and I hate it. Anything else from this? Because I love it. And like, you got to watch it. Even if you didn't watch it and you listened to this spoiler portion of it, it's still like, you got to see it to believe it with some of the stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's super good. If you guys are like into these, if you like King of Kong, you'll definitely like this. We at the end of the movie, you know, Tim gets in his race car. He's done with Nibbler. He's going to start racing cars, and he just has to shove himself into that race car.
How many sticks of butter do they use?
Oh, just they had to spray the helmet with Pam just to get it on him. Like, he just like put the helmet on,
and like, then they got a 5-foot shoehorn, and they just lip him in, and you're like, I didn't need that part, and there was another part I'm trying to think of that like. Again, it's only 90 minutes, but it probably could have been 80 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But like, that's a nitpick, but like,
it
was a crazy story. But it is funny because I remember when you first recommended it to me, and Billy Mitchell was this great, 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 great villain from King of Kong. And then in this, he's actually like encouraging Timmy. He's like, go ahead, Timmy. Oh, by the way, Timmy won the Nibbler machine and then he ends up selling it. He's like, I had this huge cabinet and I was sick of Nibbler. So he sold it to the rival arcade down the street for $50 worth of tokens. And the one guy, actually that producer guy, he was in King of Kong too. And he's talking about, he's like, that's just like, for junk, crack, basically.
It's like junkie money. It's like drug money. Like junkie money. Like, yeah.
Pretty funny.
It's pretty funny. And like you said, it's weird to see Billy Mitchell be like so helpful and like so kind. Yeah. And you know,
he's still got the crazy hair, the stupid fucking ties. And he's
his black shirt with like a tie that doesn't match. Like,
crazy.
Probably wearing black jeans.
What is he up to now? Doesn't he jump on Twitch every once in a while?
He does. So he actually, for the anniversary, he actually tried to set the Donkey Kong world record again. And I think he did it.
Because you remember all the shit that was going on like last year? Like they yanked the Donkey Kong record from him and then they gave it back to him. Like it was all kinds of shit going on.
Yeah. And I think he was playing live in front of people on Twitch. And so I was, I did actually see him get a kill screen. I actually saw.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was actually pretty. No, he did it with Pac-Man. I saw a Pac-Man kill screen.
No shit.
Which was actually pretty sweet on Twitch.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get on to the old pick of the pod, shall
we? Sure.
Pick of the pod.
All right, Ryan, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal?
I will receive this week, as I have two. The first one, for you people who are like Neil Gaiman, who like the character Sandman, if you have Audible, if you have Amazon Prime and you have Audible, check out the new, it's a novelization, but it has like James McAvoy is Death. Like it has all these like A-list stars doing the voices. I just started listening to it. I haven't finished yet. It's excellent. If you like that story, so definitely check that out. It's an audiobook.
What's it called?
Sandman.
Oh, it's the Sandman. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So it's just like a novelization, like a take on it. And
I'll check that out.
And the other thing too, it just came on Netflix. It's been around for a while. I watched 4 or 5 episodes right in a row. Cobra Kai is on Netflix right now.
I haven't seen
seasons.
It. I heard
it's good.
Okay.
It's really good. Right, like it's shockingly good.
All right. Mm-hmm. I have a couple things as well. First, I mentioned them in the podcast, but look on YouTube for the Dwayne Richard specials where he's just ripping Billy Mitchell. It's probably been taken down and then reposted, so I don't know what it is, but it's the perfect like
a different name.
The perfect fraud man and the king of con. And then also, Davey, this is within the hashtag dork shared gooniverse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people are already subscribed to the Change My Mind podcast of Nick Fryer and Wesley Sykes. But what Fryer's also doing with our guy, Dr. Joe Backcracker, they are doing a comic centric podcast,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of with us, Davey and I admit. We haven't gotten the single issue comics in such a long time. Like we sort of wait and get like the trades and things like that. So we still read them, but not as frequently. So if you are into that, they have the too long didn't read or the TLDR portion of it. So they do it on Dr. Joe's Twitch stream. And then they also post it to the Change My Mind pod. But so every week they break down all these new books that they're reading. So if you're looking for stuff, cause there's a million goddamn comic books.
Right.
So they break down the stuff that, they are reading right now and recommending you stuff. So if you're looking for that element, because we do so much movie, TV, video games, if you're looking for that comic element, check those guys out. They do a great job.
And I'm going to start getting, but once my library opens again, that's when I start reading a lot more comics is when I go to the library. But
I'll wait like several months. I'll wait. I won't read a thing. And then I'll just like stock up on like 5-6 trades that I missed or sometimes more and then just pour through them all.
Well, listen to them talk about the 3 Jokers that just came out. That sounds really good.
Oh, so I can't wait for that.
I'm going to check that out.
I can't wait. Yeah.
So that's another pick of the pod for you right there. But okay. Another plug for the library. Go to your local library.
Go to your goddamn library. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Next week, Ryan, The Boys, season 2. I didn't mention this in This Week in Dork, but coming out on Friday on Amazon Prime is the first 3 episodes of season 2 of The Boys. So what we're going to do is next Monday, we will do our standalone episode just reacting to those 3 episodes. Then they're going to release the show weekly. So we'll wait till the end of the season. I think it's once again, only 8 episodes. So in another 5 weeks or whatever, we will recap all of season 2. So we'll do 2 different episodes this year on season 2 of The Boys, which is one of the best TV shows in the game.
do some predictions, do some character breakdowns of the first three episodes. Can't wait. I'm so excited. For The Boys.
Speaking of comics, I might go back and reread that. I never made it through it. There's, I think, 12 volumes, and I've read like seven.
I got to go back. There's one. Someone, Garth Ennis, Volume 2 is now free somewhere.
Oh.
If you were looking for it, it was on Twitter. It's like Garth Ennis like gave it away for free.
Cosmicology or something?
Comicology. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
All right. I'll check that out. You can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and just about everywhere else podcasts are available. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dork Podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/dorkpodcast, where we stream live every Monday night. Davey's on Twitch.
Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, baby.
Twitch.tv/RVonD. And we're also part of the hashtag Dork Shared Gooniverse. Check us out on Facebook. Just type that into the search. Follow along there. It is us, Mac and Goo, the Pop Culture Pile Driver, Change My Mind podcast, Davey's Twitch stream, Dr. Joe's Twitch stream, and our guy Shime Time's Twitch stream. So we are very busy. There's something for everybody on there. Lastly, Ryan, what do they say about wombats?
You know, they get them square buttholes.